Let us pray. Again, loving and gracious God, we come together and give thanks for your presence among us and helping us to experience Jesus through song, through word, through sharing. Lord Jesus Christ, encounter us now in these moments that we may be fed and nourished by your life-giving word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Luther said this in 1520. Martin Luther, that is. He said, "A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a dutiful servant of all, subject to all." Hear that again. A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a dutiful servant of all, subject to all. I must share that at the heart of what I understand my life is as a Christian are these words. That the paradoxical nature of being one who follows Jesus is one that is centered in this crazy idea that we are totally free to then give our life away. When Jesus says crazy things like those who save their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Well, friends, that is an wholly alternative vision for life, is it not? So much of our lives, I think, our Christian lives, is centered in that we do recognize from the beginning that we are called to be servants, that there is a servanthood nature to that. But oftentimes, for us, that can seem a bit troublesome, particularly because we see the great servants of the world. We see the Mother Teresa's. We see the Dietrich Bonhoeffer's. We see the Desmond Tutu's. We see the Charlie Moyers, right? The Glenn Combs, the Alva Combs. We see those kind of people out there, and we go, well, we can never be quite like that. But here's the reality, is that being servants of God can happen any and everywhere that we live. In particular, it happens in our everyday roles, in our everyday professions, in our everyday lives. For example, yesterday, Heidi and the kids had gone to a Halloween party, and I was at home watching football with my son, Noah, and it was a good day. But after they returned, I helped put Leah to bed, or help give her a bath, which is a great joy. It really is. I fun doing that, especially when I have to play with all the dolls and all that kind of stuff. You know how that goes. But afterwards, while Heidi was putting the kids to bed, and while I could have been still watching football, guess what I chose to do? Because I had just realized I was going to preach a sermon on servanthood, I decided to do all the dishes. Now, this is not just a small thing, because she had made cupcakes. So, I mean, there was a lot of big bowls. And usually big bowls scare me away, normally. Now, Heidi will be the first one to tell you that I did not serve her in this role, because at what point did we decide that it was her responsibility to do all the dishes, right, ladies? That's right. I was serving our family. However, I did think about that, going, what would Jesus have me do? How nice would it be for Heidi to come downstairs and see the kitchen clean? Now, that's a simple, very small reality of how we might be serviced. It really didn't take a whole lot out of me, because the truth be told, it was halftime of the football game, so what else would I have been doing? That being said, how in your life, in your role, in your profession, maybe it's doing something for your coworker, perhaps it is doing something for your child or something you know that they would value and enjoy. What is it in your everyday life that you can do that is an act of sacrifice and love? Perhaps, as our young people have done in Sunday school, they have gone and done acts of kindness, random acts of kindness. And they've gone out and tried to do things to help other people so that they might experience a sense of grace and peace out of our sacrifice. That's at the heart of what it means to be a servant. But in beyond that, Because in some ways, those are the easy things. There is something to be said for when it gets a little deeper. And that's when we find that in our lives, there are particular ways that we can indeed help serve, especially when it's not so easy. Let me tell you a story about some friends of mine, the Hansen family, Howard and Evelyn. They were friends of mine back in Cincinnati, and Howard was a workout fiend. This guy was amazing. He was rock solid. He worked out all the time. Well, he then had a brain aneurysm, and this made him, for all intents and purposes, unable to really speak or communicate in any way. And his wife had to be with him for an entire year while he laid in bed, an absolute shell of who he was. It was depressing at times to visit with Howard, because he could look at you and you could tell he was pained, but he could do nothing. He could really not communicate, and all he really could do was cry. And Evelyn sat there with him every day, and it almost broke her. That is sacrifice. That is servanthood. Because while you love them, that perhaps makes it even more difficult. That kind of servanthood is a part of our life together. There will be times that serving each other will not be easy or just annoying. There will be times when it will be absolutely heartbreaking for you and for me and for our congregation. As we serve other people and do things that cause us to feel that kind of pain, it is almost as if we don't want to do that, but we do. Being that vulnerable is really at the heart of this kind of servanthood of Jesus. The kind of vulnerability that allows us to absolutely put ourselves on the line for another so that they might feel hope and promise and grace. So they might know that God is with them, that they might know that God has their back. You know, there's a story that I still hold on to, because it's a story that perhaps can give us some hope and promise. My friend, Pastor Neil Bozy, who was a pastor all over, but particularly in Indiana and Kentucky, Neil tells a story of one of his early congregations. He had this plan with the council where if he got called out on a particular difficult pastoral call, he would call whoever the council member on call was to go with him. So it would not just be him, but it would be him and a person from the council. And there was a particular gentleman on the council who was a construction worker. And he was a young guy, very, you know, strong construction worker type of guy. And they put him on what committee do you think they put him on? The building committee. Yeah, of course, right? Yeah, let's go. Let's get the guy. Put him on the building committee. So he was on council as part of the building committee, as part of their building and grounds and all like that kind of stuff. Well, it just so happened that on this night when this he got called out on a pastoral emergency, this was the guy on tap. And so he called me, said, "You need to come with me. We've had a tragedy." And it was a murder-suicide husband-wife that had left two children behind who witnessed it all. So they get there, and, you know, the pastor is just like any of us would be. We're just, you know, we don't know what to do. Nobody really does. And the kids are catatonic in the corner. The police aren't able to get anything out of them. The pastor goes over. They don't talk to him. Then nothing happens, and they're all wondering, you know, what's going to be of this situation. And in that moment, this construction worker, this guy on the building and grounds team, because, you know, that's what construction workers should do, right, shows up. And he sits down, and he just starts talking with the children. and they listen to him, and they share with him, and they cry with him. Well, in that moment, he looks over at him, the pastor does, and calls him over, and he said, "How did you do that?" He said, "How did I do what?" He said, how were you able to connect with him?" He goes, "I don't know." He goes, I just did." Why? Because he had a particular gift that God had given him to serve. And instead of him being on the building committee, after this experience, the pastor said, "No, you're no longer on the building committee. Now you're on the empathy visitation committee." Because that was what he was gifted and how he was gifted to serve. And I dare say each and every one of us have been given in baptism a gift that allows us to do as much. It may be how we make our living, but many times it may not be. Because as Jesus says in our gospel lesson today, while the Gentiles lord it over those others, it will not, but it is not so among you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. That means God has uniquely gifted each and every one of us to be a servant. And as the people of God, we seek to help each other find that way, that role, that we can indeed be vulnerable like Jesus to the world around us so that this world might indeed be saved in its little ways through the gifts that we give. Because here's the thing about the people of Jesus, the people who are perfectly free to be servants. Because Jesus has named and claimed you in your baptism, because Jesus has told you that you are worthy, that you are enough, and that you matter, because Jesus has given you the gifts to serve in your life, you have nothing to prove to anyone, to any place, or to this world. You are free. You are free. You have nothing to prove. All you have is yourself to give. In Jesus' name, amen.